Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the Bald-Faced Truth.
I feel like I'm dealing with a rookie broadcaster here. We start the segment, you hear the music coming on, and then I have all these controls in front of me that can control my wife's microphone and everything. She picks up the headset and the microphone, and you treat it like somebody who's never been on air before. I immediately have to turn all your things down because you're fidgeting and fiddling with it.
I think I have a misshapen head because every time I come on the air, I'm fiddling with the head. It's like a headset microphone combo, like I'm an operator. You know, hello, may I take your call?
It's off center too. You always wear it off to one side. I don't know if you know that.
I don't know how to. Well, I...
here, let me fix it.
You talk.
No, that's not helping. That's not helping.
Oh boy!
I'm telling you, I think I have like an oddly shaped head.
I might need a mallet to get that to fit right.
Knock it into place.
Mallet. Mallet's a weird word.
Mallet. Is it a word that sounds like what it is? Mallet.
Mallet? No. Not really. It's just a strange word.
I like those words that sound like what they are.
Lip balm.
Lollipop.
All right. This is spiraling. Uh-huh. I have a question for you. All right. Andre called in earlier in the show.
Yes.
And he's a regular caller.
Mm-hmm.
One time when he came on air, he said, I don't know if you remember this, John, but I have been in your house. It kind of freaked me out at first because I was like, wait a minute. What do you mean he's been in my house? Do I need a restraining order? And then I thought, oh, I remember when Andre came in. It's part of how this studio is able to function.
Right.
Some of the technology. Andre is like, he's kind of the Michael Jordan of that technology world.
Yeah, whiz kid.
Yeah. And the bottom line being, you know how private I am.
Mm.
Okay? I'm pretty private. Would you say I'm private?
You're like selectively private.
What do you mean
by
that?
You're private about certain things and then you're like oddly open honest about many other things.
No, you're not understanding. Because to me, being on air and sharing, there's no filter when I'm on air.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different kind of private that I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm fine with talking about anything on air.
Okay.
It's more of the...
And I'm not.
The domain. The domain that is our house, our backyard.
Sure.
It bothers me when, like, a delivery driver will... Like, I expect the delivery driver to leave the delivery on the porch.
Yeah.
The delivery driver, if he doesn't go on the porch, if he happened to use like the side gate and go into the yard and leave it at the side door.
You're not okay with that.
That's happened.
You're all over that.
That's happened.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why the delivery driver would go, let me go into the backyard and leave this at the side door.
Like, if it were up to you, we would live on 5 acres and
have giant
fences all around us and we'd just be like an island unto ourselves.
I would have...
no neighbors.
I would have two giant statues that were very imposing, like the terracotta warriors or a sphinx or something at the gates of this palace.
Uh-huh.
And when you arrived, it would be like Oz. It would be like, state your name and your purpose. And then the person would have to say, I'm just here delivering a package from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then leave it at the gate. You know, that would be...
I think a lot of men have that. Innate desire. I think women, this is a total generalization, but I think we're much more social. Like, the idea of living that remotely kind of freaks me out.
Well, you do something that I had never thought to do, which I think is actually a nice thing to do.
Mm.
If we have somebody who is like a worker who has to work at the house,
mm-hmm.
let's say it's like a repair that's being made or roofers or If there's somebody building a fence or somebody pouring concrete or somebody that we've hired to be over, you will bring them water. Often you have provided lunch, like a meal, like Judah Newby. You ever want a meal? Come over here and pour some concrete. My wife will come out and she'll make you like chicken fried rice and iced tea, and you get fed.
I'm on my way.
First time I ever thought I did that, you thought it was just like, I would say the first five times I did that, you thought it was so weird. You're like, what are you doing? And I don't know. I like to be hospitable. It comes from my mom, I think.
But
she likes to do that.
Yes, your mom gave you that gift.
Sorry, Judah was talking and I totally just barreled over.
Part of broadcasting. You'll get it after a while. Judah, go ahead. What were you saying?
Yeah, that's all I have.
Oh.
But the bottom line being, I saw the way that the people that you fed reacted, how surprised they were. Because I could tell it wasn't a normal thing for them either. To have, like, if they're working at a house, to have somebody go, hey, here's some ice water or some iced tea. Hey, by the way, it's lunchtime. Here's some food. You always do that. And then I saw the way people reacted to you. They were surprised by it. Then they were delighted by it. And they thought it was very nice. Normally, like for me, I have just been of the mindset, like, hey, here's a six-pack of beer. You know, there you go. You've been out in the sun for a while. Don't drink this now. Drink it later.
Remember when you gave our pastor beer?
I didn't know. I wasn't thinking that one through. I met him in a parking lot. Full disclosure, I had a bunch of beer. Remember when they did a beer that was the bald-faced truth-teller beer? Shout out to Laurelwood Brewery and Mike and the team there. They did a beer. They put my face on the label. And then they gave me 90 cases of this beer.
90 cases of beer. Crazy.
We should have just had Alabama Adriana's graduation party and said, hey, everybody gets a case.
So you were giving out beer left and right.
I couldn't get rid of it fast enough because I was like, I don't want it to go bad. I didn't have anywhere to store it. I don't have like a walk-in cooler for my own beer. And nice. It was a fantastic beer, by the way. And the two things that got me were... Because I was asking everyone, do you want beer? Do you want beer? So I asked the pastor. I said, hey, do you drink beer? And he's like, I don't drink it, but I could find it at home. So I met him in the Starbucks parking lot. He backed up his station wagon. And I started loading cases of beer into his car. And then I looked up and there were like several people who were just aghast watching this scene in the parking lot of this look like, you know, this back alley deal that was going on. That happened, and then it was also around Christmas time. I don't know if you remember this. Mm-hmm. We had Santa Claus, who was working at one of the local department stores, who had reached out to me and said, hey, where can I get the beer? I also met up with Santa and gave him a case of beer. That was kind of an odd transaction, too.
So he was one of Santa's helpers.
Yes, one of Santa's helpers. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I said he was working at the department store.
Yeah, we're on radio. People can't see your air quotes.
Oh, all right. I'm just saying that was it. But let me ask you a question. And for those of you out there who work in jobs where you are working remotely at somebody's place of residence, I would be very curious how often someone offers you a glass of water, a glass of ice water, iced tea, a bottle of water, a Gatorade, a lunch, a meal, a dinner. You make this a regular habit. I remember we had the technician at First Call Heating and Cooling come over and he was just servicing the system. And we happened to have dinner time. And it was in his high season, kind of like it was a summertime. I'll never forget it because they came over and he came over at like 6 o'clock. He was still working. And I was like, oh, wow, you're still working. You handed me this plate with like chicken and rice on it and everything. I brought it to him. He almost cried.
Aww.
He was so happy. I'd be curious to hear from you if you are somebody who works in a job out there that you work remotely, you're at somebody's house. How often do you get fed or hydrated by the people? And do you notice trends with that? Is it more often the wife? Is it more often the husband? Is it somebody, like, is there some reason, is there a way that you see it coming or not? I want to hear from you. Sean is in Sandy. He's called in right away. This must have hit close to home. Sean, welcome.
Hey, John, I'm loving you guys more and more every day as I get to know you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I grew up being a commercial and residential painter. And I don't make that much money, and it's good just to be busy a lot of times. And you don't know how many times I've been working at somebody's house, and it's a hot day, and maybe you don't have that much money in your pocket. And it goes a long ways when someone offers a lunch or something, even a glass of water. And it's usually the women. It's usually the housewives that do that. And we always appreciate a good beer at the end of the day.
Good to know.
I love it. That's great. Thank you, Sean, for that. I appreciate that. See, there you go. I'm being educated here. And also, maybe we're educating some people that wouldn't have offered the drink or whatever. I gave, one time we had somebody who was doing lighting over at our house.
Mm-hmm.
They were just working on the lighting, some electrical work. I didn't know how long they were going to be there. And it was the same time I had the beer. I walked out and I gave them each a case of beer.
Yes.
Now, I'm well aware that like that beer didn't cost me anything. It's not like I'm giving up something.
Yeah.
But the two guys, it was the same thing. The two guys that were working looked at me like I had just, you know, given them a winning lottery ticket.
I think it's all just part of, you know, these are guests at your home. They're working, and I appreciate the work that they do. I come from, you know, a blue collar background, and I just don't see people as less than. So, like, yeah, if there's an opportunity to be hospitable and let them feel welcome at the home while they're here, then I like to take that opportunity.
Now, where do you draw the line? Because there's some people who don't like people come in and use the bathroom, stuff like that. Where do you draw the line?
I just don't mind that. I don't know. I know you're different, though.
No, I'm all right with the using the bathroom stuff. You got to go.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, I've heard people be like, well, they wanted to use my bathroom. That's your bathroom. Like, that is some kind of sacred place. It's not like they're saying they wanted to pray at the... at the altar in your home. It was like, you know, can I use your toilet? That's it.
You know, a lot of Chinese families have altars like that. It's really interesting. Have you ever seen one of those?
Yeah, I have seen.
Like, they have them in Asian restaurants, too. They have, like, the lucky cat and the fruit that they set out and all that. And then, like, I have relatives that are really hardcore about it. Like, they have a whole room dedicated to, like, worshiping their ancestors and stuff, and they put out paper money for them. I just don't understand the paper money thing. It's symbolic, I guess, where they can spend it.
Well, they're your ancestors.
In the heavens. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing, I grew up, you know where I grew up, the community is 50% Hispanic, and in some of my friends' households, there were shrines.
Oh, yeah.
And candles that were lit, and don't blow out that candle. That candle's for Aunt Maria.
Yeah.
You know? And if we blow that candle out, like, her soul is going to be lost or something. I don't know what was going on with that. But, you know, I respected it. I said, I'm not going to say anything, but, you know, your mom has a full mural on her wall there. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Maybe there's something to that, though, that maybe they're more connected to their past than we are in these modern, you know, nuclear family times.
Maybe we should make one of those murals while I'm still alive. And have a candle.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Since we're preoccupied with this. Hey, question for you. If you had to, because I had posed this as something I was going to bring up in a different context earlier. I saw a story that, you know, people during this pandemic are doing more baking and cooking and experimenting because
they're
cooking from home. I made donuts, right? Have I not become a good donut maker?
Yes. Your donut making skills along with the girls have
homemade donuts,
improved
guys.
Exponentially.
Homemade donuts. That'll blow your mind.
Not helping the waistline.
All right. But glazed donuts, sprinkled donuts, maple donuts, cinnamon donuts. I've become Krispy Kreme over here.
Yeah.
But the bottom line being that people have gone to all these meals and they're experimenting, they're finding new things. If you had to make a go-to meal, even if it were for, like, workers who are here, like, because you can't just serve anything.
Yeah.
If you had to make a go-to meal, what is your go-to meal? What is the one thing you make that you think just crushes it?
Totally just comes from my mom. It's chicken fried rice. Like, there's hardly anybody that cannot eat or will turn down chicken fried rice.
Your mom, the first time she made it, she had a shower cap on.
She always cooks with a shower cap.
She put her on her shower
cap. She's trying to keep her hair from smelling
like vegetable oil. There's a live chicken. She's holding it by its feet. It's flapping its wings. And I was like, this is going to be pretty good.
All right. You might be exaggerating just
no,
a wee bit.
That first time she had her shower cap on and I walked into the kitchen. She had a giant pot and there was a chicken in the pot and it still had a head. It still had its head on it. And its head was like popping out of the top of the thing. And I was like, okay.
It was smiling at you.
This is going to be interesting. This is going to be a new thing for me.
I think one of the first meals you ever had with us, she cooked fish too. And the head of the fish was still on. And so were the eyeballs.
Most people, like I can remember, we went fishing in the Willamette.
Yeah.
And caught a Chinook salmon.
Yes.
All right. And
shout out to David Johnson.
Yes, David Johnson, Lord of the River there, Willamette, Wizard of the Willamette, whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. If you want to go catch fish, find David Johnson. Best guide on the river. So David Johnson takes us out. We catch a Chinook salmon. I bring it home. David Johnson's like, do you want me to, before you leave for home, do you want me to cut the head and do all that, clean it and all that? And you were like, no!
No, that's the good stuff.
Because my wife, this is going to be a new thing that you get to know about. My wife will eat the eyes of the fish. Alabama Adriana, my wife will eat. Have you seen Anna eat the eyes of a fish that is being prepared? Absolutely. Guarantee you that Alabama Adriana has seen this. Judah, have you ever seen anybody eat the eyes of a fish?
That's a negative. Yeah, I can't say that I've seen that with my own eyes, another fish's eyes being eaten.
Alabama Adriana, have you ever watched Anna eat the eyes of a fish?
Not the eyes of a fish, but we did go to lunch one day and she had intestines. Yeah. I don't remember of what, but
showing off.
It doesn't really matter.
She's showing off.
In the end, it's just it doesn't matter really what they came from.
I'll never yuck somebody's yum, so do your thing.
Yuck somebody's yum.
All you need to do is see my wife look over at the fish's eyes and be like, are you going to eat that? And I'm like, his eyes?
All yours.
What are you, some kind of fish serial killer?
It's a delicacy.
No, this is not funny. Dre is in Portland, and Dre has called in. What's up, Dre?
Jay, you got an old school wife, man. That's what it is. No disrespect. I didn't call her old. I said, yeah,
I'm just saying, I hear you.
My grandma, seriously, my grandma growing up, she used to, on cold days in the winter, she would give the mailman, and you know, back in the day, you had the same mailman for years.
Yeah.
For
mm-hmm.
years. She would give him a shot of whiskey.
I love that.
I know some people were like, where's the mail today?
Mailman didn't make it.
She was old school. She'd be like, you want a little something? And she would pour it to them. And they'd sit there and talk on the porch for a while. They'd be like, okay, I got to get back on my route.
I love that so much.
That's I just great. Wanted to call in, man. You guys
thank you, Dre.
Day. Thank you, man.
Be all well.
Right. I'm going to upgrade to whiskey.
There you go. Now, you can't give them whiskey while they're painting or they're working or they're pouring concrete.
Oh.
Because then give it to them. That's why I always say when I give the beer, I go, this is for after.
Yeah.
You know, give it to him and put it on ice.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, this is for when you're done. Jim is in Salem. Jim, welcome to the show. Appreciate you calling in.
Thank you very much. Can I have a shot of whiskey if I come help you take a Christmas tree through the garbage dump next spring?
Cheers. Yes, cheers.
Actually, it's a family thing that from my father to when we had people come do work at our house, that sort of thing, to provide water, iced tea, that sort of thing, we thought was a community thing. So I think that is comes down to more about where you are in your community as far as that concerned. As far as fish head in food, fish head is the best part of the fish as far as adding flavor to a soup or anything else. So that's why a lot of them cook it. I've never seen anybody eat the eyes, though.
Yeah, well, I'll get you some video of that next time
now,
it happens.
The question is, why haven't you had your special tech create a headset microphone perfectly suited for your wife?
She has her own headset microphone. This is the first time I've heard, Jim, her complain about it not fitting her noggin, but I guess I need to make an adjustment there.
I think, Jim, it's operator error. I'm pretty sure I'm just putting it wrong on, putting it on wrong every day.
Well, here's my thing. Normally when you come in here, we're on a commercial break.
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So you have an opportunity
Yeah.
to to come in here and get the headset on straight.
Yeah.
But instead, you wait until we're on air and then you start to put it on.
All right, I'll work on it.
It's just like this is the first time. How many years have you worked in TV?
Almost 20.
Okay.
There's plenty of floor directors and directors who will tell you how annoying it is for talent to like be fiddling with the mic as you're about to go
on
air.
But I think the thing that you got spoiled with on television is they would keep your mic turned off.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. See, I turn the mics on and I leave them on. Everything that happens in the commercial break, if I'm in here doing jumping jacks.
And you're the talent and the tech.
That's it. Turk 182 calling from San Jose, California. Turk, what's on your mind, man?
Get in the ball game. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Hey, the conversation you got going on right now with your wife and, you know, your audience has totally changed the perception of my call because I had a question. But I just want to say three quick things. I'm glad you're a bootlegger to the ministry with beer. Giving beer to Santa. Guy works one day a year. How do you get a belly that size without drinking beer? And going based off the previous caller before you went to break, I've never been to your house in Oregon. But when we were roommates, I used to strike you out regularly playing whiffle
ball. Yeah.
Your audience, feel free to tell them that right now. And that's all right. I got. I'm not even going to get into my question.
All right, Turk, I appreciate you. It's not his real name. That's an old roommate from 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Got to talk to him. He's got a lot of history on you.
He's got no history. We used to play wiffle ball, though, and now I realize, like...
Wiffle ball?
We played wiffle ball, like, every day. We're right out of college. Okay?
Wiffle ball?
Yeah.
Why not, like, softball, or why a wiffle ball?
Oh, man. We're going to have to talk about this after the break. Why not softball?
I don't understand. Why? Like, wiffle ball is for, like, seven-year-olds.
Guys, I'm going to have to educate her. That's coming up. My wife has joined this radio show early. You had to go over to the hospital this morning, meandering around the hospital. What did you wear a mask?
I did. Yeah, it wasn't easy to get in, you know, because they're checking everybody. They've closed down many of the entrances. You can't go in just any door.
So what do you mean they're checking everybody? Like when you show up there?
Show up, they take your temperature, they screen you, you know, they don't want anybody walking in there with
COVID. What was your temperature?
I run under, like, I was like a 96.4.
Cold.
I'm cool.
She's cold, guys.
Cool.
She's cold.
Cool.
You mentioned during the break that one of the technicians who works at the hospital, as you're leaving the hospital, made a comment to you about this radio show.
I know. It was crazy. I was going in for an MRI because I've had, like, gnarly headaches lately, and there were two MRI techs.
Maybe it's your headset.
Thank you. You adjusted it during the break, so it fits much better now. Thank you. And he just offhandedly was like, well, you better make it home by 2:30 to get on the radio. And I was just like, he just said, you better make it home by 2:30. And I just kind of looked at him like, why? And he's like, well, you're going to be on the radio, right? And I thought, God, that's so weird.
Everybody listens to the show.
It's odd. It's an odd thing.
Everybody listens to it. I'm never surprised anymore. I'm never surprised anymore. We had an interaction yesterday where we were dropping off one of the vehicles in the house to get serviced. And the guy, when I was dropping off, said, what's your name? And then, like, subsequently then said, asked me how the radio show was going and everything. And I thought to myself, like, he knew. He knew that maybe it was us coming in with the car.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to big time him, but maybe he was just trying to be polite. I don't know. Hmm. But how does it make you feel when, like, if the radiologist is listening to this show and knows that you're part of the show at 2:30, everybody's listening to the show.
I guess. It just makes me, I don't know how I feel about it. I'm still processing a little bit. It always takes me by surprise because I never really know, like, who's out there and who's listening. And I never expect, I'm not like one of those, do you know who I am people?
No. To your credit, like as it's been said on Twitter, Uncle John on Twitter said, it's amazing how much a better person Anna is than John. Love you both.
Ah, that's nice.
I'll go with that.
But it also makes you realize, like, you know, we can't have a bad moment either, like in public. Like if you and I are arguing or something, we gotta kind of keep it on the down low, maybe. I don't know.
But that's normal, though. I think, you know, look, what I think is abnormal is people don't have disagreements. I'm not talking about screaming people at each other. Like every once in a while you've been somewhere and you see people that are having a disagreement where you're like, that's not a healthy disagreement.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's healthy, like, to be able to work through something if you don't see eye to eye, don't you?
We've gotten better at it. And when we say we, I mean I, because I'm more of like a screamer than you are. More of a gaslighter.
I should hope that you know, I'm not the screamer in this relationship. Did you see them arguing? Gosh, John was just screaming hysterically.
I think you've trained me to, like, I don't know. You're like, hey, you can't just win an argument by being the loudest one, by making your point more loudly and with more profanity.
You know, I should never tell you this, but you know what you're really good at?
What?
I suspect you have some kind of deep debate experience in your life because you can box me into a position like nobody. Like, I can go on the radio, I can have a position, people try to box me in it. No, I'm not having it, whatever. I'm pretty good in that. I can joust. But... You're very subtle in how you sort of get me to establish a position that you know you can completely obliterate. And you get me into that position and then you just start going that. And you know what I do to get out of it now? I just say, this is not a debate. And I walk away because I know I'm losing. It's like in the third quarter, I'm down 28-14 and I know this is not going in a good place. And it's like me pulling my team off the field. We're going to the locker room real quick. We'll be right back.
I think I frustrate you because I get into the, well, what about this? Well, what about this?
That's not what we're talking about.
I start throwing like the kitchen sink at you and events that took place, you know, 11 years ago.
Yeah, you can't do that.
On this day.
You can't bring up old stuff.
I do. I got to.
Mark is in Oregon City. He wants to talk fish eyes. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, guys. This is a question for Anna. I spent my career in food processing, and one of our best customers was in Japan. And we'd make an annual sales call. And they would take us out to dinner in Tokyo to really fine restaurants. And one of the dishes, and I remember this very clearly, it was like a deep-fried fish in a U-shape. So the tail and the head were upright. Mm-hmm. And the customers insisted that we eat the eyes out of the fish. So I just wondered if you'd heard about that. So I did it to be polite, you know, your guess. And
how was it?
Well, it, you know, it tasted like a fish eye. I don't know. It's but I could tell everyone said, and they told us that these are delicacies, and we usually gamble for it, or, you know, place a bet who gets the eyes, because it's good life or good fortune, something like that.
Might be. And that's why Anna has all the good fortune in this household. Have you heard of is it yin yang fish? Is that right?
I call dead and alive fish.
It's dead and alive. What they do is they fry the fish, mm-hmm. but they keep the head alive even after
Ew.
The body's been cooked.
Yeah.
They scale it. They gut a part of the fish, and then they dip it in frying oil, and then the head is left alive. So the fish is alive and continuing to gasp.
Oh, that's...
And the eyes are moving.
Awful. Okay, no, that's a whole nother level. And they do this... Oh, it was invented in Taiwan. Of course it was.
Where were you born?
Taiwan.
Okay.
Of course.
All right, so...
That's pretty gross. Come on.
Oh, come on.
I have my limits.
You have... That's it. You draw the line. We found it. This is the one thing she's not eating, guys.
As for that particular dish in Japan, I don't know of it specifically, but I think it's a little rough to like impose your own tradition on your guests. Like that's like Indiana Jones having to eat monkey brains, right?
Well, I agree with that because I have been in a couple of situations with you where we were in China. Remember, we went in China, we were eating sea cucumber or sea urchin or you know, I can't remember what we were eating.
Yeah.
It was a real, I know we were in the real restaurant because there were no tourists in that restaurant. I looked around, everybody was Asian, and it was me, and they were all staring at me like, what's that guy doing here?
And the menu that was translated from Chinese had like really odd translations into English too.
Yeah, there was one that said it was chicken.
Yep.
But in large letters it said, you know, giant cock.
Stewed
cock. Judah, have you ever had stewed cock?
No.
I was hesitant to order it.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, what they mean is it's just a big chicken.
Yeah. Big chicken.
Uh-huh.
That's what they meant by that. But we
had a lot of fun with that.
I remember turning the menu to you and going, are we in the right place?
Yeah. Well, we didn't eat. To clarify, we didn't eat bats or anything.
No.
Like, talking about eating exotic foods is a little less less okay now, I think. Less kosher now.
I just found a story that said the eyeball of the fish is said to stimulate brain cells, stave off memory loss, and there's fatty acids called DHA and EPA that are in the fish eyes.
I think that's a hullabaloo because it's like there's not even that much there to eat.
And if you eat the head itself, it's chock full of omega-3s.
Well, there's fish oil that you can buy in stores, right? Like, isn't that part of the whole fish, not just the eyes? Have that?
I'm gonna have you call my mother-in-law, and I'm gonna have you give her that nonsense. Okay, I'm with you, Judah. I'm totally with you, but I'm gonna have you try that on her. See how that works.
Oh boy.
You're also not a fan of when we do go and eat in an Asian restaurant. You're always looking for what's the additive that they put in?
Oh, MSG.
MSG. Yeah. You're always aware of that. Like, you know, you sniff that out like nobody else.
Yeah.
You're the crime sniffing MSG
person.
Well,
it's that stuff that makes your food taste really good, but, you know, it's not good for you. Leaves you with that dry mouth, a slight headache a lot of the time. Well, it's just not natural.
Yeah, but
it's kind of cheating. It's really.
Is it?
Like, yeah.
But what does the MSG make? Is it like salt or what does it make it taste like?
It's like a salty sweet.
I've probably tasted it a million times and never known what I was eating.
It's in so much stuff. Yeah.
All right. Coming up, we are going to turn the focus to sports.
Sports.
My wife's in studio. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Well, if you missed the news today, the big news in the state of Oregon as it pertains to sports came from Governor Kate Brown, who cleared the way for athletes to return to campus. Here was the governor earlier today.
And I'm happy to say that our collegiate athletes will return to train by mid-June under specific health protocols to keep them safe and healthy and the staff healthy as well.
There it is, Kate Brown clearing the way. She also talked about Sabrina Ionescu and Satu Sabali and Ruthie Hebert, not how disappointed she was and heartbroken for them she was that she didn't get to see them in a Final Four. Do you believe the governor, Anna, when she's talking about sports, or is she just campaigning and trying to connect with regular folks?
I mean, probably a little bit of both. Like, I don't know about her authenticity. But I think she's been a fan for quite a long time. I think she's a University of Oregon grad, if I'm not mistaken. But at the same time, any savvy politician knows that, you know, if a lot of your constituents are into the sports teams, then you need to be into them, too.
The Oregon Ducks and Oregon State Beavers fans sometimes don't agree. I think she's on a little bit. Like, I had Jonathan Smith on the show earlier. I told him he needs to invite the governor to a football game because I think as this show is not home of the Ducks or home of the Beavers or home of the Blazers or really home of anything except, you know, you and me and the truth on the show as we see it. But I think she runs a little danger there and maybe being a little too duck friendly.
Yeah, which would speak to the idea that, you know, that is actually a passion of hers. That's an authentic thing that she's into. But sure, I'm sure, you know, it would be equal time, right? Equal time.
She needs to get out.
Show up at a Beavers game.
Show up at a Beavers game, take an interest in all things. I know she's been to Timbers and Thorns games, I think. And she's done Blazer games, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's into the Blazers. I don't know. But I think for her, if this is a, I think it is authentic, but I think, let's be real, most of the people that are in these positions of political positions don't have a deep and rich appreciation or understanding of sports most times. They don't. Like Gerald Ford, he was a football player in college. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a big deal. You know, he could connect. Mm-hmm. But
that's a wide sweeping statement.
Oh, President Obama. President Obama plays, you know, he knew basketball. He was a fan of the White Sox. You know, he knows sports. He has kids who played youth sports. I'm just telling you, most times my impression has been that most of the mayors and most of the governor, I'm trying to think of a case of a governor that I really thought understood sports. I remember running into Kulongoski in the airport, PDX airport.
Okay.
And he came up and he knew sports. He was like, hey, you're the sports guy. And he wanted to talk and stuff. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, I played catch with Tom Potter at City Hall. He couldn't throw a ball 15 feet. He couldn't. He was throwing it off the floor. He was throwing it off the wall. It's a simple thing.
Did you write about that?
Yes.
You guys were playing catch indoors, though, in City Hall?
I brought two gloves down to City Hall. To Tom Potter's office. I had a meeting scheduled for an interview.
Oh, because this is about trying to get Major League Baseball to come to Portland.
And I said to Potter, here's your glove. And here's my glove. And you want to go outside? Because there's a park right across the street from City Hall. We could have gone out in the park and had a nice catch.
Yeah.
He said, oh, we could do it right here. And I thought, huh. So
an indoor game of catch.
We went. But the hallways there are long and there's the ceiling's high. It's, you know.
Okay.
But he threw the ball off the wall. He threw the ball off the floor. He threw the ball at my ankles. It's like you when I say, throw me the remote. I give you a nice target, right? Hit me right here in the hand.
Yeah.
And if you throw it off the wall, I'm going to be like, whoa, not an athlete. After Tom Potter, like three throws, I was like, this is pointless. We're never getting baseball under this guy as mayor. He doesn't understand baseball. He's not a baseball fan.
And then you have to understand it and be good at playing catch to be able to rein in a Major League Baseball team.
But I found there's
that
only...
maybe not where your skill set is, right?
I found there's only two things that motivate politicians. Okay?
Okay.
One is getting reelected.
Sure.
And two is if they have a passion for something.
Yeah.
Okay? So they want to get reelected or have a passion. Major League Baseball wasn't going to fall in the, I want to get reelected, I have to bring baseball to Portland camp. But so he had to have a passion for it. Like Vera Katz had a passion for baseball.
She did.
You could tell when she talked about baseball, she wanted a baseball team. Mm-hmm. When Sam Adams was mayor, he had a passion for soccer. Mm-hmm. He wanted the Timbers. He didn't care about baseball. He wanted the Timbers and he wanted soccer to be there. I don't know where Ted Wheeler falls on that spectrum in Portland. He seems like he's kind of an outdoorsy guy, but maybe not a... I haven't seen him take an interest in anything real sports related. We should get him on the show.
Get him on the show.
But Kate Brown, showing up as a sports fan, that's not necessarily the worst thing ever.
By the way, mitt or glove? Because I've called it a mitt for years, and you made fun of me for that.
Yeah. It's a catcher's mitt.
You insist. Oh, so the catcher wears a mitt.
Yeah. Because
he or she is the only one
that wears
a mitt.
Do you notice the difference between the catcher's
mitt? Yeah, it's big and hefty.
And a glove?
Yeah.
One of them has fingers.
Yeah.
One of them does not have a bunch of fingers on it. It's like, we don't call it an oven glove. We call it an oven mitt. But if it had fingers on it, we would call it an oven glove.
I always called it a mitt when I was growing up and playing softball.
You called it a mitt as an adult. We almost had to call the wedding off. I said, let's play catch. You said, let me get my mitt. I went, oh, wait a minute here.
I'm going to intentionally call it a mitt from now on just to irk you.
All right. Coming up, we will... finish this radio show with a riveting 10 or so minutes. I'm going to pepper you with a bunch of questions. In the meantime, Golden Oak Lending. Go to goldenoaklending.com during this commercial break if you're somebody who's interested in a home loan. Really, you can get their free mortgage checkup that quickly on their secure portal on their website at goldenoaklending.com. Now, you can lower your interest rate, of course, because the rates are low. You can cash out some money, pay off a credit card if that's something you're interested in, or you can shorten the term of your loan, or really when you refinance, one of the great advantages is you can go 2 months without a mortgage payment. That's relief. If you're somebody out there that's looking for some relief or looking to take advantage of low interest rates, GoldenOakLending.com is where you start that. That free mortgage checkup is risk-free because they don't take your credit card and they won't charge you for an appraisal unless they close the loan. GoldenOakLending.com. Leave it here. My wife is in studio, as she does every day in the 2 o'clock hour. Usually it's 2:30. Showed up early today.
Must be getting paid extra.
Showed up early. I am going to pepper you with questions.
Oh, I don't like this part.
It
makes me so nervous.
Does it?
Yes, because I'm used to being the one asking the questions.
Would you rather ask the questions?
No.
Okay. I'm just going to pepper you with questions.
Okay.
All right. Judah, do you have like a soft bed of music that would fit this, or, a low bed of music that you like that you think would sound nice under me peppering my wife with questions? Kind of, you know, let's get in the mood for some rapid fire questions music that could go firing underneath us.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me.
He's working on that. All right. So, why does this make you nervous?
I think because working in television, where 80% of what I said on television was scripted and planned, you know, aside from breaking news or just kind of the segues to sports and weather, it was planned. Like,
none
it's
of
scripted.
This is planned.
And so, this whole format makes me uncomfortable, but it's good. Discomfort, leads to new neural connections being formed, right? And getting smarter every day being on this show.
Shortly after noon today, about a minute and 30 seconds after 12 o'clock, I knew that the music to the show would start and that I would be on air. I knew that Eric Reveno, the assistant coach at Georgia Tech, was joining us at 12:30. That podcast is up if you want to grab it. He wants to, by the way, make Election Day a holiday for NCAA athletes so they can not practice and focus on their civic responsibility and participating in an election. He said that's one thing that he feels like he can champion, and he, as he talked to players on the Georgia Tech basketball team, they had expressed interest in that. So he's championing that. He joined us at 12:30. Jonathan Smith, the Oregon State football coach, joined us at 1 o'clock. As you heard the news earlier today, governor in Oregon has cleared the way for teams to begin on-campus workouts effective June 15th. He said they're going to have the team work out in groups of 10 because they can space them out 6 feet apart while they're working out.
That makes sense.
Pretty cool. Judah, you got some music? Ooh, I like it. Nice and low, nice and low.
This is from, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
All right, what is your favorite board game?
It's been a while.
There's no wrong answer to this, by the way.
I like Sorry because it's just simple and there's educational value with it for the kids.
If you could teach one subject in school.
Oh, Boggle too. I like Boggle.
Okay. If you could teach one subject in school, this is supposed to be fast moving.
Oh, sorry.
Rapid fire.
Yeah.
One answer. Boom. We move to the next question. Okay.
I think we've already covered the fact that I'm not fast moving.
If you could teach one subject in school, what would it be?
English/news writing.
What's your favorite beverage?
Bubbly water. With flavor.
What's the best compliment you've ever received?
That I'm kind.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
To not give up. Just to keep trying. Try in different ways. When you fail, try it a different way.
What were you like as a teenager?
Obnoxious.
Favorite movie ever?
This is embarrassing. Robin Hood, the one with Kevin Costner.
What?
I don't know. Just...
That's like a Bryan Adams.
Yeah, well, it has to do with the song.
What's that Bryan Adams song that goes with that one?
Everything I do.
You knew it right away.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. Biggest pet peeve.
But I have so many. Rudeness.
What's the best thing that's happened to you recently?
Just to me personally, I don't know. Like, I think celebrating our daughter's birthdays has been really fun.
You like that?
Yeah, I get into it.
Favorite birthday cake?
Chocolate, duh.
What television show, old TV show that you'd watch, would make you laugh no matter what?
I just talked about this the other day. Perfect Strangers. I loved that show.
That's Balky.
Yeah, Balky. And he'd do the happy dance.
Why did that show connect with you?
I don't know, but I was singing the theme song to you in the morning.
What did you want to be when you grew up when you were 12 years old?
When I was 12?
Yep.
12? I was crossing over between ophthalmologist, a U.S. ambassador to Taiwan, and a journalist.
Are you a believer in brunch?
I'm a believer in food in general. I don't care how you label it.
Favorite Disney character?
Oh, Ariel. Come on. Little Mermaid.
Best vacation you've ever taken?
Our honeymoon, Bora Bora, with you.
That's cool. I think I'm going to leave it right there.
It doesn't get better than that.
Take a win. I'm sorry. I just about took her headset off. She liked the honeymoon, guys. All right. I want you to grab a podcast to this radio show. SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. Thank you, Anna, for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Bald-faced truth. We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-faced Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.